Welcome everyone to the latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin.
And as you can tell, this is not Godzilla versus Kong.
Right.
This is the Guyver. I thought it came out on Friday, the 24th, which would give us plenty of time to watch it and stuff. But it actually came out the day we're recording, which is the 31st, today.
I swear it had
dates around, because I also know that just today,
Mortal Kombat. Yes,
thank you.
Yeah.
So I messed up. That's my fault. I messaged Justin about it, but we adapted. We just flipped the weeks around. So
yeah,
the Godzilla Kong review will be a little bit delayed, but not too much. We'll give everybody a little bit more time to watch it. I know I'm excited. I think Devin and I are planning on watching it tomorrow night.
Okay.
I'm very excited about. I don't know. There's a part of me that like wants to go like to a theater and watch it. I won't lie to you.
Go.
Like go like early Saturday morning, like when there's no one there, and just give myself a big greasy bowl of popcorn and watch Godzilla and Kong just beat the piss out of each other. And I know Devin would be on board, right? Yeah, she just shook her head. Yeah, she's playing Doom right now. But yeah, so that's coming up. This episode is a review of The Guyver. It was a patron force entry from one of our patrons, Ginger. We have there's so much behind our journey to The Guyver. I'm really excited to share that. But before that, Justin, what's been new with you, buddy?
I've actually had a busy gaming week more than anything. I guess movie week too. Actually, you know what? I've just had a busy week.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished watching. Oh, I'll start from what I remember. So this is going to kind of be all over the place. Perfect. On Monday night, I had a like mini viewing party of the first Saw movie in our Discord.
Yes, you did. How'd it go?
Oh man, I fucking hate Discord for streaming movies. And it's funny because before I started streaming, I was like, okay, I have to find an alternative option, and I just ran out of time in. So yeah. It was like,
because we tried even boosting it with the Nitro or whatever.
I tried again.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Okay.
It didn't fucking work again. Yeah, it was pretty choppy. I know like Matt at one point like bounced and just watched his DVD but like stayed in chat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I mean, I was watching The Source, so it wasn't choppy for me. But I have found alternative options. I just have to see if it's going to be like easily joinable.
Okay.
But apparently it works.
Well, something I was thinking about, I'm not sure if it's even possible, like, can you do like a private live stream like using like Streamlabs OBS and like send that out?
I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
private.
I'm pretty sure there's a way, but I'll have to look it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than that, though, I beat Pokemon Blue for my Nuzlocke run.
Congratulations! What was your final team?
I don't have my Game Boy on me, so I couldn't tell you. But I know there was my Blastoise and a Haunter. Fuck, what I honestly, it has been such a crazy week. I honestly don't remember. I'll bring my Game Boy next time and I'll kind of spill it out there. It was fun though. Not as hard as I really thought it was going to be. I never ran into any issues. I think I had like one Pokemon die at the end, and I really didn't grind that much.
The Nuzlocke's biggest threat is up front. Once you get a team and start getting TMs, and as long as you're patient and you go to like Poke Centers and stuff, it's pretty easy. If you're looking for more of a challenge, my recommendation to you for a challenging Nuzlocke run is to play Pokemon Gold Silver.
I'm actually doing Emerald next. I've decided I'm going to do Emerald.
Okay.
Okay.
Make it so that you can only use the Poke Center once per town visit.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's something I've done before. And then with Emerald, because Emerald is part of Gold Silver, right?
Yeah, it's basically like the yellow to Gold Silver.
So this is... No, Emerald's for Ruby Sapphire.
Crystal.
Crystal. Don't make me question my Pokemon knowledge. When you go from Johto to Kanto,
yeah,
force yourself to get a new team.
Oh, shit.
So okay. you can get them when you go fight Red at the very end, but put your Pokemon League Championship team in a box.
Okay.
And have to catch brand new mons. And have to start a brand new mon. Because like, all the gyms are high leveled. So you have to like grind them up to it to get to there. And with a Nuzlocke and like having areas already knocked out, Yeah. Like, you can, like, obviously use ones you've already caught in the past, but it has to be a team you haven't used before. It adds... I had done that before for a little extra spice.
I might have to do that.
Again, if you're looking for... Because it is challenging, and I know you like grinding, too. So that would be...
Yeah, I might. I'll have to look
into it. A Pokemon guy, I can tell you. That's kind of fun to do.
Besides that, I played a little bit of Monster Hunter Rise. I honestly maybe put an hour into it. I've kind of put my time elsewhere.
I'm thinking about getting that after I finish up Bravely Default 2.
It's fun.
It will depend upon when I finish that, because Pokemon Snap comes out soon.
Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't touched Bravely Default 2, if I'm being completely honest. I did, however, play some Final Fantasy X.
Okay.
I am
a bit, are we that right now?
I played at work. I don't bring it home. No,
I'm saying, should we talk about that right now? About your lofty
goal? Sure, absolutely.
We will have the Final Fantasy X review for patrons only by the end of April.
Yes.
Recorded and absolutely. Done. Yeah, I'm no longer doing the platinum. We're just going to get it done.
And it would be earlier, but we have a lot of stuff coming up here. So we're trying to kind of fit it all in. But yeah, we'll have it done by the end of April, and we'll be on to the next Final Fantasy.
Which we'll announce then.
Yes. I also don't remember. But anyway.
It's one of the bad ones. It's your choice for the worst one.
I think it's like 2 or 3. I honestly don't remember.
I think it's probably been so long. 2 or 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I played and beat the Saw game. I did the other half of it off stream. I have honestly just not had the energy to stream.
I couldn't even stream it if I wanted to.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to rest on too long, but yeah. I picked up a laptop so I could play my games on the go. I'm currently downloading Kingdom Hearts, so I'm looking forward to playing that at work. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Skull Island the other night.
Awesome.
Yep.
Save all your...
I'm saving all my...
MonsterVerse for Kong Skull. Oh, I know you actually went through and watched them all.
Yes.
And then, obviously, if people are interested, they can hop over to the website, because Matt has written reviews on all of them so far.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They're all available.
The only one I haven't watched is Godzilla 2014, but I don't really plan on watching that, just because, from what you've said, 2014 doesn't really have, like...
I mean, it lays the groundwork for King of the Monsters. All you need is King of the Monsters to be ready for Godzilla vs. Kong.
I figured I'm I should so at least watch
that freaking movie, dude. Oh, I'm so
I can
pumped.
Tell. Oh, I can tell.
I really am, especially if like the rumors are true. We're getting Mecha Godzilla. I just want to see giant dino fights. Cut out the people. Like, I don't need any people plot. Just give me 2 hours of monsters beating the piss out of each other.
Well, let's. We can only hope. I feel like. Oh, I watched the Guyver, which we'll get into. I think that's about it. I feel like there's more, but honestly, I just can't remember. So
that's fine.
What about yourself, Larry?
Okay, so for me, first, I want to say a special huge thank you for our newest patron, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Yes, he is our new patron. He has forced in the anime Blood Sea. It'll be the first anime we reviewed on the podcast. I know he was really, really excited about it. He'll be joining us for that review as well. That'll be coming after Saw, but because I know how sometimes I get my mind jumbled and I forget stuff, I want to say right now, huge shout out, huge thank you. It's so kind
absolutely
of him to do
that. Like it's again, it's really the patrons that let us do special stuff. I mean, because of the patrons, we're able to every season we're going to be raffling off a shirt to just kind of send away. I already sent off the upcoming season, the Saw season art shirt
to Tuck.
Right. Yep, and then Matt actually got the Kaiju one, so he'll be getting the redesign. Yeah.
All right, so what I've been doing, podcast-related, I beat the Saw game.
Yeah.
That review will be coming out soon with, obviously, Rachel. I watched the first Saw movie. That review will be coming out later. And I watched the Guyver. So that's podcast-related stuff. I started Death Stranding. It's interesting. That's an interesting little beast. I'm not really quite sure.
What chapter are you on?
One. Spoilers. So the president's just died, and Walking Dead dude is strapped to his back. He's going to go for a walk.
Okay, interesting. I actually did pop in to your stream there.
Yeah,
I actually have an idea after the show, I'd like to maybe pitch you a bit streaming and how to get around how to stream Death Stranding. Just an idea, because it is very story focused.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the P is very excited about it.
Yes. I have an idea for you that I'm going to pitch to you after the show, and hopefully if it works, well, I'll tell everybody else about it.
Okay. As far as my own personal stuff, though, I've been playing some Dead by Daylight, the new Killer and Survivor dropped.
BTS, right?
Yeah, the BTS one, yep.
Yeah.
I'm working on unlocking her perks. I've been playing a little more Destiny 2, not with anybody, not raiding or anything, just hopping on and doing the level grinding, trying to get the story components done.
He's back in.
Not back in, but there is a new raid coming out.
He's back in.
And I can feel the sweat coming on. Been playing Bravely Default 2 before bed. I finished up the second book in the Inheritance Cycle, which is like the Aragorn one. I just started the third one for that. And I have two more books like that, the current one and the one more after it. And I'm trying to decide what franchise to do next. Part of me wants to do the Hannibal Lecter books. I'm not, because I've already read them, so I have them on Audible.
Are they shorter books?
Yeah.
Mm, damn, that sucks. I like a big, long audiobook.
Which I like, too. Exactly. I mean, these ones I'm doing now, like 30 hours a pop, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You get a lot of content out of that. I think that's pretty much it. I've been watching the show Moonshiners. It's just ridiculous. About a bunch of backwoods people cooking moonshine and cops trying to catch him, and it just makes me happy deep in my soul. Been watching some college basketball because it's March Madness. I don't know, man. I'm boring.
I'm right there with you. So okay.
I wish I was more exciting, but that's pretty much all I got. So I think we covered everything we need to touch on. Hit the music and let's talk about the Guyver. The Guyver, like I mentioned, is a forced entry from Mr. Ginger Thrust, one of our patrons. I want to talk about our journey to finding the Guyver.
This fucking movie.
Let Marcus, in his own words, explain why he picked the Guyver. Some background. I'll do the 60-second summary, then we'll review it.
Sounds good.
Okay. Justin and I have never really had a problem finding a movie, whether it be like on Daily Motion or renting it or going to a local shop. We have never.
I bought the what is it, like the 4-disc special edition of Friday the 13th, just so I could watch the second one because it was not streaming in Canada.
We have never really had problems,
hurdles,
but never problems.
Yeah.
The Guyver was literally unfindable.
Oh, if you want to find the second one, though, you can fucking find that.
The second one or the anime, like, you can find that stuff. But the original Guyver film, I called a local, like, half price books.
Okay.
There was only one copy they owned in the United States.
Jesus.
You can't rent it on Amazon. You can't rent it on Google. You can't find it on Netflix. You can't find it on HBO or Hulu. It is literally unfindable.
Yeah, if I wanted to get the Guyver from, like, let's say Amazon, it is like, I'm literally looking right now. It is $70 plus an import fee, and it'll be delivered in 2 months.
So, yes. So we did Redacted, and we were able to watch the film.
Yes.
Special shout out to my man Justin. Captain Justin.
Yar.
the captain of the great ship.
The Black Seas. Yeah.
But yes, we did get it. We did get it watched. And I think it is important before we discuss it, we hear why, of all the kaiju movies in all the world, Mr. Thrust picked the Guyver.
What's up, everybody? So, my thoughts on the Guyver. Why did I pick it? My history with the Guyver is kind of sporadic, just to be honest with you. I don't even think I saw the very first film before I saw the second film. I think it was the second film that I used as like my first experience with it. Honestly, it was probably because the VHS cover of the second film looked very appealing, whereas the first movie did not. But I did go back and watch the first film afterwards. And then I may have read some of the manga based off of it, but I do remember watching the anime show, at least a couple of episodes for it. So, but it always really appealed to me. I like that style of single hero suit combat. I don't know what you would necessarily call it, but like that idea of a hero figure who gets like a suit of armor or, you know, a special suit of some sort, and it's just that one person going after it. Maybe that's why the Power Rangers appealed to me so much too, except, you know, there's like five or six of them. But yeah, and then you take that concept and you make it really dark. I'm not the biggest fan of some of the aspects of the Guyver as far as like suit combat and everything. It's a little too insecty for me, I guess. But overall, I still feel like it fits into a kaiju theme, of course, because of the Zoanoids that the Guyver has to face, and the fact that even though they're not like super huge monsters, they're still sort of like this creepy, you know, Japanese inspired monster creature type that they have to always go after. And of course in the film, you know, they do the best they can with the practical effects of it, but I believe in the manga and the anime show that they're a lot scarier looking and a lot more brutal as well. And I think another reason now that like the Guyver 2 especially appeals to me is because it stars David Hayter, who voices my favorite video game character, Solid Snake. But of course that doesn't apply to the first film. But in closing, yeah, that's been my history with the Guyver and why I think that he sort of fits in on this, and I find the concept pretty cool, and I wouldn't mind exploring it a bit more a little bit later down the line, maybe read the manga again. So that's all I got. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
So the Guyver is a 1991 American superhero film.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia.
Yep.
It is loosely based on the Japanese manga series of the same name. And yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot.
Okay, well, there's some interesting stuff. So this film was directed by Screaming Mad George. Do you know who he is? I think you should. I honestly think you should.
I know they... I think he's done like prop work in like some of the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Exactly. Nightmare on Elm Street, Predator, Bride of Reanimator, Silent Night, Deadly Night. Okay. This is his only full-length director role.
Interesting. Okay.
But he has done some really, really good creature work.
Yeah.
In the past. That's straight up. Like, unarguably. The film does have a very big name star in Mark Hamill.
Yeah, which is weird. Like, I don't think I've ever seen, like, adult Mark Hamill. I have seen present Mark Hamill and, like, youth Mark Hamill.
Yeah. I was a little bit disappointed because, especially if you look at the cover, like, if you look at the cover, the trailer promotional stuff, Mark Hamill is, like, the title character, and it's his face with the Guyver on a half of it. But he's not the Guyver.
Nope.
And so I was very disappointed by that. I won't lie. And he's definitely not in it as much as I would have liked, because Mark Hamill is amazing. I mean, Luke Skywalker, the Joker, like, it goes on and on. Like, Mark Hamill is a very talented actor that I think is underappreciated. And I think in this kind of movie, there was a possibility for him to be really well. Instead, the Guyver is played by an actor named Jack Armstrong. And Jack Armstrong pretty much has had more of a TV career. A lot of soaps, a lot of movies. Like, he was in All My Children, for example, and Guiding Light. If you don't know, those are, like, big soap operas here in the U.S. Okay. He has had some roles in, like, Westworld. He had, like, a little uncredited role, How to Get Away with Murder. So he has done some stuff, but for the most part, he's been more of a soap actor.
Okay.
Other things about this film. There, like Ginger mentioned, there is an anime based on it. There's obviously the manga that it's based on. There's a sequel called Guyver Dark Hero. And there were also... There's not a whole lot on here, and I wish I could find more, which is kind of frustrating. But apparently, a lot of scenes were cut when the American version was released in order to make it seem more action-y instead of more funny. And so, according to some, the real version of this movie is a lot more funny and doesn't come across so weird as this the version we end up watching was.
Oh, man, I wish we could get our hands on that. Mm-hmm. Well...
I was unable to find a box office, okay. But it did make. It was shot in a budget of $3 million.
Can I butt in for a second here?
Please.
I'm very surprised you did not bring up. I don't remember his first name, but Berryman. He's from Hills Have Eyes.
I'm sorry, Michael Berryman. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was more just frustrated because I was trying to like find like actual
background stuff. Yeah.
So Michael Berry, like Justin mentioned, he was in The Hills Have Eyes, Hills Have Eyes Part 2. People probably recognize him in Weird Science. He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was in The Crow. Like, if you see Michael Berryman, you know him.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I absolutely should have brought him up. And like I said, I was more...
I was so happy. I finally like knew something, like knew the actor.
And I dropped the ball on you. I apologize. So, yeah, that's really, like, there was not a lot to find on this.
Yeah.
So, with all that being said, I have my watch pulled up. Do you want to give me a countdown?
Absolutely. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
The film starts off with the scientist being chased by Michael Berryman. And Michael Berryman turns into an alien creature and kills him. And they're looking for this thing called the Guyver. They're looking for this thing called Kronos. Basically... This young kid ends up finding it. Mark Hamill goes to the researcher's daughter and says, "Your dad's been killed. I want to here protect you." And basically, we come to find out it's this alien suit called the Guyver has implanted itself on the kid. The kid starts fighting it. The kid turns into mush, gets revitalized and brought back to life to fight. Somehow along the way, Mark Hamill got injected with something or bit by something, and he turns into this cockroach-looking thing from like the original Men in Black. And then I actually don't know what ends up happening to him because they kind of just like leave him there like in pain. The Guyver fights the head bad guy, beats the piss out of him, is able to control the suit, turns it off, kisses the girl, they walk away, and then the cop is like, talks to one of the alien creatures and is like, "I want to help you work for me in the future."
Yeah. Yep. There's, yeah. I think he the way they explained Mark Hamill's death is he wasn't injected long enough, so he just kind of like died, I think.
We'll get into cinematography, but that transformation was the best part of the movie.
Oh, absolutely, hands down.
Okay, and then before we get going, Ginger, I'm so sorry to do this to you. You did so well picking Kaiju when you picked Rampage World Tour.
Yeah.
This is Aliens.
Oh, it says right in the start, in like the start, starting crawl.
Like, I am very sorry, and I'm always willing to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt. This is Aliens. So welcome to the first ever Alien... No, that's not true. We've had Aliens in the past. That's not true. Yeah. But welcome to our first Alien review of the Kaiju season. yeah. Plot. I am in kind of agreement with Ginger. I liked Power Rangers growing up. The idea of this is kind of cool. This plot isn't that bad. It's definitely more of your B-movie type.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Gives off a lot of like Halloween 3 vibes, I personally feel, which isn't a bad thing. That's not meant to be.
No, absolutely. Like,
it just is. However, the writing is really offensive.
Oh, man. So... Before we get into that, because I feel like that's going to be most of the plot we talk about, okay. I do want to second you because I think I mean, I loved Power Rangers growing up. Uh-huh. And even watching the trailer for this, I was like, oh, it's going to be like an adult Power Rangers, basically. I'm in for it. That's awesome. Yeah, obviously it looks like a B-movie. And for all intents and purposes, it is. Mm-hmm. But, man, oh, man, like the plot itself is not that bad. It really is not.
Exactly. Like, a lot of my complaints is more audio when it comes to, like, the acting.
Yeah, it's well, I think even like some of the plot beats are like kind of weird, but I think that's I think that comes down to like a writing thing. Mm-hmm. But oh boy, some of these characters are just stereotypes, eh?
I think that's putting it light.
I was trying to, yeah.
Like the African American characters, the Asian characters, like the way they talk, like. Like, even though they're not actually African-Americans, they're actually aliens, like, pretending to be African, like, or in a skin suit as African-American. Like, even when they are aliens, they talk like that. And, like, the Asian characters, like, using, like, dropping words. Like, the Asian characters are more offensive than Mickey Rooney's character in Breakfast at Tiffany's. And that's super offensive if you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, maybe I'm more cognizant of it now because of, like, what's been happening in America with a lot of anti-Asian violence and stuff. And, like, it's a lot of unnecessary BS going their way. And I'm not saying, like there is a time and place and there's, like, cultural moments and stuff. But this goes too far for me in a lot of ways. It's just a really uncomfortable a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, for example, they had the African-American alien rap, basically, every time he was going to attack somebody, and he always had to have his chains and his hat, and it was just very uncomfortable.
And then you get past, like, the racial discrimination, and you get into the misogyny, like, the way the Kronos guy treats the main, like, the lead girl.
Oh, there is sexual assault written all over this movie.
It's really gross.
Yeah.
Like, over the top gross.
Yep.
So that's why, like part of me thinks, like, I actually, listening to what Ginger said, I do find myself agreeing with that sentiment. I really do think that, I mean, probably because I'm a Power Rangers kid, that there are legs to a story like this. I can't remember what
the idea is. Very cool.
Like, there was a movie, I remember when I was a little kid, like, there was a little kid who found, like, an alien bio suit, and he, like, threw it on and, like, fought crime. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know what that movie is.
I tried Googling it. I couldn't find it because it's not specific enough, but there was a movie, like, he found it in, like, a trash can or something, and, like, he, like, became, like, he fought crime or whatever. Like, there is ground for this. However, there's a lot of offensive stuff, and 20 years on, it does not look good.
No, and like, I think when you get to, like, 90s movies, there's a few slots in those 90 movies. This, unfortunately, slots into the 90s that just do not, they shouldn't be, really. It's, I mean, like you said, it's incredibly offensive.
It's incredibly offensive.
Like, man, wow.
I gave it a 2.5.
I gave it a 3.
I gave Resident Evil Retribution a 3. I couldn't give it the same score.
I don't even know what else I gave it.
I know
3,
you
but...
don't. I know you don't.
I don't fuck pay attention.
Cinematography.
Yes.
The biggest pro, we hinted at it earlier, when Mark Hamill, out of nowhere, turns into the bug creature from Men in Black. That was some of the best creature work I think we have seen on this podcast. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, that was amazing. Like, we haven't done American Werewolf from London yet.
Yeah.
This transformation took place in the light. Like, this was, it truly was awesome. It caught me off guard how awesome it was for what this movie had been so far.
Yeah, it definitely, I got feelings of, like, Tusk. Watching it, almost in a weird way, it was very uncomfortable and, like, in your face.
And, like, the pain of Hamill's, like, facial expressions and how long they were able to keep his actual face in the transformation.
Yeah, yep.
It was really, really good. Like, even if you have no interest in watching this movie, I highly recommend going on YouTube and watching it, because it is, honest to God,
some of the
best creature effects we have seen on this podcast. And yeah. I mean that from my heart. Like, truly.
Yeah, I mean, I'll second you there. It's very, for what the rest of this movie gives us, it is incredible.
Okay, now the cons. I have mentioned before how much I hate bad jump cuts.
Oh, this whole movie.
This movie does that all the time, and it almost does like the old Batman with Adam West.
Oh, there is like a little music stinger. Yeah.
And it's like, oh no. So I'm not a fan of that. The action sequences, again, reading that like a lot of stuff was kind of cut out, maybe that's why. But the action sequences left me disappointed because I really felt like they could have been more. We didn't get that.
Yeah, they were, unfortunately, and this is like the worst thing you want to hear about a movie that is supposed to be kind of action oriented, mm-hmm. is like the fight scenes are just boring.
And like I was trying to in my head, the only other movie kind of like this I could compare it to was a Power Rangers movie back when I was a kid with Ivan Ooze and stuff, right?
Oh, those fight scenes were fucking awesome.
Maybe they're not now, but in my head, I especially remember, especially when the first fight scene, when they're fighting in like the parking garage,
yeah.
before they even change over against the putties, like that's a super cool fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
And like I was excited for this because I kind of figured it'd be on the same note, and it wasn't. Like the fight scene that happened at the very beginning, even within the dojo, like it was like so scripted and like 1-2 punch kind of thing, it wasn't very good.
It was very flat and dry.
Yeah. And then the only other thing to talk about is the overall cinematic feel to this is Ginger Dead Man.
I didn't get that bad, but it was close.
It's the feel though, what I mean. I'm not saying it's absolutely. Bad as it. It's the same feeling as it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. It's really unfortunate because we have that one really, really amazing transformation sequence, and then the rest of it is just like very boring. Dry and boring.
Soap opera-y, offensive, yep. boring stuff.
Yeah.
So for cinematography, Justin, I gave it a 5, and 4.5 of those points literally came from that transformation scene because it really was brilliant.
Oh, I gave it a 3. The only points it got were for that transformation scene.
Audio.
Oh, man.
I love Mark Hamill. I thought his character was kind of cool. A different kind of character than I'm used to seeing him play. He wasn't being the Joker. He wasn't being Luke. He was being something different. I thought he was fine as a cop, as someone who watches a lot of The Wire and those kind of shows. It was okay. It was okay.
I'm not saying
it was good. I'm just saying it's hard for me to crap on Mark Hamill.
For me personally, there was not a redeemable performance in sight. I myself am a fan of Mark Hamill, but I felt even here.
I know. You know, I just those, can't. You know those. He's movies, the Joker, man.
But you know those movies that you look at now. Okay, but you know those movies that you look at, and then you go, yeah, he definitely just needed a paycheck. That's what I get from this.
Oh, the transformation. He gave his all to that transformation sequence.
Yeah, and that's where the point comes from. But
but besides that, this is the same level of acting that you would get from Ginger Dead Man.
Absolutely.
Coupled with the offensiveness of the script and the character portrayals. It's just not very good. And the massage, this is without a doubt the worst section. The theme music is very forgettable. The stingers, don't get me started on the damn stingers. Yeah, this is without a doubt the worst part of the whole movie. I gave it a 1.
I gave it a 2. Because,
like I said, typically yeah. I can't say anything bad about Mark Hamill's man. I can't score a bet. So for how scary, I was prepared to crush this. Until okay. the Mark Hamill transformation scene. That, honest to God, captivated me. It looked painful. They did it in the light. He was the only character I had remote feelings for. And I thought that that was brilliant. I really do think that was top tier cinematography and horror. Like, I'm a big, like I've talked about before, I'm a big fan of practical effects. We haven't done American Werewolf in London yet, which we definitely need to get to as soon as we can. But, like, this was painful. It looked horrific. It looked like it hurt. And to see, and to be able to see Mark Hamill in that transformation for so long was, like, painful. And I will say, overall, this movie was a lot darker and a lot more horrific than I was about to give it credit for. So because it did that, it is not getting as low of a score as it got for audio.
On the other hand, for me, yeah, honestly, I mean, for me, there was even the transformation scene. I thought it was, like, cool, definitely, and, like, looked amazing. But because I already had checked out by then, it was not enough to bring this back from the depths. Yeah, I mean, this is clearly just, like, your action comedy of the 90s. I honestly have nothing else to say about it, especially in this section. So,
okay, I gave it a 2, and it was for that transformation scene.
I gave it a 1.
To review the scores, for plot, I gave it a 2.5, just gave it a 3. For cinematography, I gave it a 5, Justin gave it a 3. For audio, I gave it a 1, Justin gave it a 2. And for how scary, I gave it a 2, Justin gave it a 1. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 24.
Oh my. Higher than Ginger Dead Man. Ginger Dead Man was a 14.
Oh my. So, I've also ranked the bottom films.
Okay. Oh, I know this is there. I fucking hope it's there.
The bottom 10.
Okay.
Number, like, 10, like, Silent 10 Hill quotes? Revelation 3D with a 36. Number 9, okay. Resident Evil Retribution with a 35. Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2 with a 30 is at 8. Number 7, Blair Witch Volume 1, Rust and Parr with a 28. Number 6, The Leprechaun with a 28. Oh, I gotta need to fix that. Number 5, Vampire Hunter D with a 25. Number 4 of our worst things of all time, The Guyver. Number 3, Resident Evil 6 with a 23. Number 2, The Ginger Dead Man with a 14. And in last place, Rampage World Tour with the 11%.
Right.
Ginger now has 2 in the top, in the bottom 5 of the podcast.
I mean, he's definitely going for a theme here.
I'm excited to see where he takes us going forward. But that's all I have on this. Ginger, I hope you had fun listening to us talk about it. I feel less bad knowing that it was the second one that inspired your childhood, not so much the first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Justin, if you're good, let's go ahead and play a commercial from the Ember Podcast, the Kaleidoscope Media Network, and head on into the closing.
Do you ever watch a horror movie and think, oh, wow, that headshot didn't have nearly enough blood? Don't the writers know that 20% of your blood is in your head?
Are you the type of person that tells your friends, well, why yes, in space no one can hear you scream because the molecules are too far apart to transmit sound waves?
Does it seriously annoy you when a horror movie doesn't explain its rules to you or claims to have horror rules and then just ignores them?
Do you ever express these concerns to your friends who tell you that you should stop worrying so much because it's just a horror movie, Sam?
Then stop lecturing your friends about physics and come listen to our podcast, That's Not How Science Works, which I co-host with my awesome friend, Nicole.
In our podcast, Caitlin and I discuss science in different pieces of media, such as movies or TV shows, in various genres, and dissect whether that science is good, bad, or just plain ridiculous. Often, we also have special guests who help us rant about bad science in their areas of expertise.
We release new episodes every other Monday, and you can find us wherever you usually download your podcasts. We like to think of this as a podcast for the science curious. Whether you're Sam with a dedicated YouTube channel complaining about bad science and horror movies, or just like to learn things while listening to friends banter about what they watched that week, we'd love for you to listen in.
You can find out more by going to our website, thatsnotscience.com, or by looking us up on Twitter at @thnhswpod. We hope you give us a listen. Now back to your regularly scheduled horror enthusiasts, Larry and Justin, and that's definitely a word that's a real word and not a word that I just made up, and whatever terrifying thing they're discussing that would probably give me daymares for a week.
Justin, we are 1 week away once it's released. We have one more episode after this until we get into your Saw mini season. How excited are you?
Oh, fuck. You have no idea. I have had to stop myself from basically binging all the movies.
Well, I wonder when you, because like we're 3 weeks out from the first episode dropping. You're getting your watch parties all readied up, and you're getting ready to do all this stuff.
Oh, fuck yeah. I am, like, if it was up to me, I would watch them all right now, and then I would probably watch them again before we did them.
I hope we're going to be friends after we're done talking about this, right?
Oh, I'm going to come in here and say this right now. It is like a guilty pleasure of mine. Okay. I know they are fucking horrible.
Because I have mentioned on this podcast many a times about how torture porn is not my cup of tea.
Obviously, this is a little spoilers, I guess, for what's coming up, but other than maybe the first two, I know those movies are fucking horrible.
Okay.
Don't worry, I know.
I am excited, though, for Book of Saw, Spiral.
Oh, holy fuck. Speaking of that last trailer, I was telling Devin,
to me, I think that it has the potential to either be, like, a very solid commentary on, like, police brutality and, like, BLM while also tying into Saw, or it's going to be drivel. There's going to be no middle ground. It's either going to be, like, on point, or it is going to be painful.
I am of the same mind, except for I really think that basically the Saw series itself is hinging on this. If it does well and it's received well, I think we'll get more Saw. If it is not, I think that is the final.
It's the final big release, because I can see it becoming more like a Wrong Turn kind of franchise.
Oh, fucking Christ. I really hope not.
I hope not, too, because there
are... And I'll say this. I had my doubts of Chris Rock in a fucking serious Saw movie. After that trailer, man, I'm here for it. Like, I am really excited.
I am, too. I truly am as well. So, yes, next week will be Godzilla vs. Kong. Matt will be releasing his review of that the day after it drops. I'll tell you more about it then. Again, thank you to Alex for being our newest patron. We're excited to review an anime for the first time. I got to find that. Hopefully, Justin can help me. That is all I have. Justin, any last thoughts from you?
Man. I don't think so. I'm really excited for Saw.
You want to go find a bio alien suit and go fight crime with me?
I mean, yes.
All right, perfect. Well, guys, thank you for hanging out with us. Ginger, thank you so much for being a patron and giving us this movie to watch. And until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at @heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.